The information presented in this podcast is intended to be for entertainment and educational purposes only. It should never be used in place of advice given by a mental health or medical professional or as a substitute for mental health treatment. If you're struggling with a mental health issue, please seek professional help.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Fangirl Business.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Krisha. And today we are going to continue our discussion about the 12th episode of Supernatural's 15th season, Galaxy Brain. And now we are going to turn our attention to the squishy human center of this episode, which was Sam Dean cast Jack and Jody. Mm-hmm. Because there was just so much delightful content there that I feel like we just got to talk about it.
There was. And yes, we do.
Yeah. I mean, you tell me what you think, but I felt like all of the characters had just incredible growth through this episode. And a lot of it was subtle, but it was just so much. And it just made me so happy.
Yeah, there was a lot of growth. There were some really great moments for all of the characters, which we'll get into. Where would you like to start?
Well, I guess the character that jumped out the most for me mm-hmm. in this episode in terms of just character development and growth was Cass.
Mm.
Because we've talked in depth a lot about Cass's character development overall. And when you look at season 4 Cass
yes.
versus season 15 Cass,
yes.
just the wildly different way that he interacts with humans. And I feel like in this episode, we got to see all these different elements of him and how he has changed and the ways that he thinks about individuals. And I don't even want to just say humans, because it was Jack, too.
Mm.
The amount of empathy that he has now mm-hmm. is just incredible.
Yeah.
We see him with Jack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing Connect Four with him, you know? These two celestial beings just chilling, playing this human game.
We have four of the same color connected, so given the name of the game, I assume that means you won. They're back.
Which Connect Four, and there's the four boys, which is just, oh, it's so cute. And,
oh my gosh, I hadn't even...
The meta of it.
All this time later, my brain still hadn't, like... But it's when you connect the four that you win,
yeah,
Krisha.
I know.
When there's solidarity between the four, that's what makes you win. And isn't that freaking meta?
Whew. I know.
Whew, okay.
That was my first thought when I saw the promo picture of them playing Connect Four a month, 6 weeks ago, something like that. And I was like, Connect Four, there's four of them. Oh my God. It's so cute. I want to punch something. Yeah.
Yes. I missed those preview photos, so I had no clue until I actually saw the scene.
Yeah.
Okay, the reason why it affected me, and maybe you can let me know if it affected you the same way, is that Cass was taking the time to do something purely human that didn't gain either of them anything in terms of the big strategy and the big game.
Yes.
That Billy refers to at the end. It was a game for the sake of playing a game and spending time. And you know how before he died the first time, Jack talked about how it's the little moments that are the important connective moments.
I guess my point is that if I don't make it, the stuff I'd miss, it wouldn't be things like Tahiti or the Taj Mahal. I'd miss more time with you. I'm getting that life isn't all these big, amazing moments. It's time together that matters. Like this.
I was so thrilled that we got to see this connecting little moment with Connect Four, haha, with Cass and Jack. Is that kind of where it was hitting you as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was bonding. Like, he was taking the time to just sit down and engage with Jack. It was so parental.
Yes.
I mean, my life right now revolves around playing board games with small children. So I was... It was such a parental thing. And then he lost and he made a big deal about it. You know, like, oh, no.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, my God, he's such a dad. Like, it's so cute because he's thinking about Jack's feelings. He's thinking about their relationship. He understands that Jack was feeling isolated and adrift and disconnected. And so he's taking the time to connect them and being so goofy dad about it. It was so adorable.
It was so adorable. And you know what I loved most about that moment was Cass is like, oh, darn, pounds the table. You won. So cute. And then he's like, if I'm understanding correctly, you have connected four, which means that you have won the game. And Jack gets this proud, pleased smile on his face. And I was just like, oh my gosh, there it is. And the little sparkle behind his eyes, which had been what had been lacking when he came back, when he was so shut down and so flat. And so to see that little pleased smile and to see the little sparkle in his eyes, I hadn't realized how much I needed to see that until I saw it. And then I was like, Cass, you dad, you did a thing that made him feel proud and pleased when he's in the middle of this really overwhelming situation.
He's such a good dad.
He's such a good dad.
And I just love that they always talk about, like, I just need a win. I just need a win. And it was like, he literally let him win.
Yes.
It helped. I don't know. It was adorable.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. Yep. What were some of the other Castiel moments of growth that you enjoyed?
Well, there was certainly him and Dean, which was just too adorable for words. I feel like they had that conversation over drinks, which again, Cass doesn't really drink. So it was the ritual of the thing, which I thought was really sweet and cute. This is part of Dean's growth as well. It's just that he was able to verbalize to Cass that Cass was right, to give him credit, which is a big step for him.
I knew it, Dean. When I was with Jack's mother, she... You know, Kelly just had faith that Jack would be good for the world, and I felt it too. I knew it. And then when everything went wrong and God took him from us, I was lost in a way I've never been before because I knew the story wasn't over. I knew Jack wasn't done. And I was right.
Well, here's to being right.
To toast him for it.
That was a huge deal. But Cass, he's not self-congratulatory. Dean's like, oh, we need revenge. And Cass is just like, man, I just want paradise.
I knew you were going to squeeze. When he said that. I was like, I can hear the squee from Canada.
Paradise.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't know if Cass has ever said, I was right. And there was just this beautiful wonder and joy in his voice. And he got this cute little smile when he said it. It was kind of bashful almost. It was just so freaking cute.
Oh my gosh.
But I was so proud of him for being able to say, I was right. And like you said, it wasn't like a, I told you so kind of thing. It was like a, wow. And just sort of also a huge relief moment for him. And I loved what he said about how he knew in his gut that Jack's story wasn't over yet. And he didn't know how to reconcile that with the fact that Jack had been taken from them by Chuck. And to have the affirmation now that his story really wasn't over with was kind of revelatory for him, because he mm-hmm. has been used to being wrong so much. And so I think there was sort of yeah. like some wonder in that as well, which is a little sad, but also beautiful.
He has been so confident lately in so many areas, but there was still a piece of him that was unsure. And I think no matter the front that he's been putting on, I think there's likely been a part of him that's still been having a hard time trusting himself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what was such a huge deal for him in this, is he's been drifting and lost and just trying to figure out what to do and how to act when things are not what he truly in his soul believed them to be. And so for him to have this huge thing validated,
mm-hmm.
he was right. I just feel like it was probably such a turning point for him and really being able to trust himself.
Yeah.
And to feel comfortable, because I feel like that's what he looked like. He just looked comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, Cass is always awkward and stiff and always feeling out of place. And when he was having drinks with Dean, he looked
just at home in his own ease. Skin. Yeah. was really beautiful.
So he goes from that beautiful interaction to then this interaction with Jody.
I know, two separate ones that just like, oh.
Okay. There's 15 years of Supernatural, right? There's just a tremendous amount of content.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not necessarily that I forget things, but it's hard to remember every single character's priorities because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they get a little bit hazy. And so when he went to Jody and asked her to stay because of the way that he had wronged Claire, I was just like, oh, he was just parenting Jack and now he's parenting Claire too, even though Claire's not there. And the forethought that went into that, the deep understanding of not only Claire and her needs, but Jody and what she would want and why she would want it.
Mm-hmm.
Jody wanted to go. She wants to act. She wants to protect. She wants to do something. She's very Winchester in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The incredible ability that Cass had to read every piece of that situation and all the human emotion in it and all the potential reactions emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to communicate that, mm-hmm. I was just like stunned.
Hey, thanks for staying. Keep an eye on the Reaper.
Yeah. Jody, I'd like to ask you to stay as well.
What is that? Some kind of BS male chivalry thing?
No. No, it's not. Jody, it's, well, you know, I was never able to make things right with Claire, what I took from her. I mean, I'm never going to be able to make that right. But you and Claire found each other, and she has you now. If something goes wrong with this rescue and Kaya isn't saved, Claire will be devastated, but she'll survive. She already has. But if she loses you both,
that'd kill her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sitting there looking at Cass and Jody like, oh my God, that's Claire's parents. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why I had never put that together in my head before, really.
So it broke my heart a little bit that he said that he wasn't able to ever truly make things right with Claire. That mm-hmm. hurt me.
Yeah. I mean, it hurt, but it didn't surprise me.
No.
I know he carries that one hard.
Yeah, and he said before,
in all my thousands of years, what happened to Jimmy Novak? His family. My greatest regret.
So So we know that he carries that burden with him. But the fact that he was, first of all, able to just, without any kind of ego, without any kind of needing to make himself look better, to just say that straight up to Jody, like, I was never able to make things right with her, but she has a mom in you. I had big feelings, like I had to pause as I was watching so that I could just feel my feelings, because it was just so generous and unself-pretentious and warm. And he was asking about Claire and wanting to know how she was and genuinely deeply cared, while acknowledging kind of the elephant in the room, which is he's walking around in dead Jimmy Novak's body, and Claire doesn't have a dad because of him. When they first saw each other and she was like, "Cass, Jack, it's good to finally meet you in person," I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. They've never met in person before.
Yeah, it's wild.
I know. And then I was kind of sad because I was like, why didn't they hug? Because, you know, Jody's a hugger. She hugs people. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Because she probably had feelings about the fact that Claire didn't have a dad and was in the system for a while and went through some really hard stuff because Castiel took over her father and never gave him back. And then Jimmy died. Then it made sense to me. So I loved that he addressed the elephant in the room. And then I love, as you say, in the later conversation, that he was able to think about what Claire needed best and to articulate that in a way to Jody that Jody would be able to hear, process, and understand. Because you're right. I mean, she's a policewoman. She's a sheriff. Her instinct is to go into the fray and help people. And especially with one of her girls, and especially with the amount of guilt that she was feeling having left Kaya there, thinking that she was dead, it would have driven her even harder to go and get her herself. I felt like that showed a lot of growth, because she typically goes and does trying to protect Claire from stuff. The past couple of episodes that we've seen her, the last one with Dark Kaya, she didn't tell Claire what was going on, excuse me, because she wanted to protect her.
Yeah.
And so she went and she did the thing. And in this case, she was being asked to hold back for Claire. So it was a real reversal from what had happened last time. And I had a lot of respect for her for being able to hear that and take it on board, because that would run so contrary to who she is, right?
I think that's what was so beautiful about it to me, is that both Cass and Jody were wanting to jump in that situation, but they both made decisions that were parental.
Yes.
They both put the kid first, which is hard to do, especially in that kind of lifestyle.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know that I picked up from Jody any kind of negativity or hostility towards Cass. I thought her eyes were pretty hard eyes.
I didn't think it was negativity, but there was just that holding back slightly. And I was like, what's that about? Because typically she hugs people. She's a hugger.
She did just get the crap kicked out of her, though. So
that's true.
All the Jody Cass stuff, I just loved a lot. It's just adorable.
It was really beautiful with both of them. Like, I was just like, oh. And then with Jack, there was real growth too, I felt. Which is even more significant because, as has now been confirmed to us in this episode, we're all kind of like, does he have a soul? Does he not have a soul? Like, was it restored in the empty? Like, what's going on? He still doesn't have his soul, but he was making right call after right call after right call and doing the empathetic thing and just overcoming that limitation in these really extraordinary ways that most people without souls just can't do. I mean, like, we've seen people without souls literally go crazy. I'm still remembering that episode with Abaddon and how she set up this nun demon to collect souls and all the humans that were being thrown in jail because they were literally going crazy and hurting themselves and hurting other people. And it was really, really dark. And here's Jack, who is just quietly observing, going around, you know, seeing what people are saying and doing, and then goes to make a check-in with Dark Kaya and takes it from there. And it just, I was so freaking proud of him, Krisha.
I know.
Because, I mean, last season he was so used and abused, and you see him in that same sort of passive role at the beginning of this. Okay, when Merle the Reaper said to him,
"Relax, just follow the rules."
I was like,
I have feelings.
Because that was just so mindless obedience, authoritarianism-ish grossness. Yeah,
that's just not what we do here.
No.
Yeah.
It's not how the members of Team Free Will operate. They ask questions. They break the rules.
Right there. Like, right there in the name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's... I was really concerned. And then I was really concerned that he hid that interaction from Sam.
Jack?
Hey.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, because I was like, that was pretty small potatoes, that it was a Reaper who was there just sort of keeping an eye on him. And I mean, he didn't receive any startling information. There wasn't anything new or revelatory about what Merle said. But for some reason, he felt he couldn't tell Sam about it and actually lied to him. That was very concerning. So for me, the turning point was that interaction with Dark Kaya. What were your thoughts?
I don't know. I guess overall, I feel like this episode, from start to finish, we watched Jack really take a step back and reassess who he trusts. It made sense, as much as it hurts me that he wasn't trusting Sam and Dean.
Oh, yeah.
He was trusting Cass from the beginning. Right? Yeah. They're playing games.
Yeah.
But Sam and Dean, the last time he interacted with them, it was not going well. He had a gun to his head by Dean, and so I can understand why he would be a little hesitant there.
Well, and I mean, they'd both tricked him into the Malak box, and that was
absolutely
a huge betrayal of trust as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I also understood. And that whole thing when Sam came in was painful. Going back to that, the first part of it was so sincere, where he was like,
"Hey, I just wanted to check in on you, make sure you're settling in okay."
"I am."
"Good. Good. We're all just, we're so glad to have you back."
And that part rang so sincere. Jared just played that scene so perfectly, because I went back and I watched that moment several times, and the switch to,
"You know that you could have come to us first, Jack. We would have helped you."
"I know."
The first time I watched it, I was like, that first part rang true and the second part rang false. Why is that? And then I was looking at his body language, and he says the words, "We would have helped you." And then his eyes widen just a fraction. Like, he's remembering how they helped Jack last time. Yeah. And then he drops his eyes and he can't hold Jack's gaze for the rest of the conversation. And starts turning his body slightly away even before the conversation is over. So the way that Jared played that was so subtle and powerful, and it just worked, because it made me think of what was the last thing you did the last time you helped Jack. And it took me back to that place. Just that slight widening of the eyes conveyed that he was realizing the implications of his own words. I found that really powerful. And so for me, when Jack does say, "Yes, I trust you," I was like, Okay, Jack's way more generous than I am, but he's he's saying the words, but I don't feel like he's actually, because he didn't tell Sam anything about what was just going on with Merle. So there's mm-hmm. like, it was this really layered interaction of genuineness and discomfort and truth and falsehood. And give me all the scenes like that. Meredith and Bobo, my goodness. The two of them writing together is like chef's kiss. Just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I went on a whole side rant there. Sorry. We were talking about Jack.
No. Because I think that's the whole thing, right? So I was saying, like, this episode in general, I feel like it was Jack starting to get his sea legs again and picking a side.
Yes.
We had talked about how he just seemed to be a pawn and he was powerless and he was feeling like he had to do things. And I feel like over the course of this episode, he's like talking to Merle and he's talking to Sam.
And he's talking to Kaya, Dark Kaya, as well.
Yeah.
And that was really crucial because nobody was letting them talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like the boys off limits kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And so he made the decision on his own to see what she had to say, which I thought was really smart and courageous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she scared him. Like the moment where she grabbed his hands, he was scared.
You can fix this. You can help us. Please?
I mean, I know he's an all-powerful being, but...
He's a nougat.
He is very much a nougat. And despite that startle response, he stayed. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of him for doing that. And again, the teleplay there, where he slowly withdraws his hands from hers, and you're like, oh, shoot, he's gonna get up and walk away.
Please.
And then he reaches out to touch her forehead so that he can see. I was like, Jack! I was so proud of him. Oh gosh, I missed him so much.
I know.
We didn't get to record in season 13 or 14, so we haven't really had the opportunity, I don't think either of us, to squee about Jack. But
let us take that time now.
Dear God, I love him so much. He is the sweetest, cutest, most pure. I love everything that he adds as an individual, and I love everything that he adds to the dynamic of the main cast when he's there.
Yes.
Both of those things. Alex Calvert gives an incredibly nuanced and layered performance of Jack that I think we've touched upon before, especially in season 13 and then at the end of last season after he lost his soul. He can do the switch to creepy so well, but like when he's like pure nuggety goodness, he's so you just want to squish him because he's so cute. Anyway.
Yep.
I cannot say enough how much I love Jack and how much I love that he's back now. And I love that we had that break between him being physically back and being back. You know what I mean?
I do, because I just kept that scene with Kaya where his eyes light up and then we go into the scene where he's challenging Merle and then Sam and Dean are like, oh, we're back. And I don't know, I just kept thinking about that scene where Jack banished Michael last season and just said,
I am a Winchester.
And I was like, this is him declaring, okay, I'm a Winchester. You know, like him picking a side. And it was just, but he did it with such awareness and being so thoughtful about it. And he stood there at the table and he traced Mary's initials. And he really thought about Sam and Dean, I think, and what they lost and what he had done and his, like, I really feel like he was just really weighing all of it. And I think that that in and of itself, when he doesn't have a soul, is really important when we talk about the future and what his role may be. Our speculation talking about angels and souls in the hybrid of humans and angels.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really, really important that he can have this much empathy while not having a soul.
I know. Last season, when he was without his soul, he talked about how he knew what he was supposed to feel, but he just didn't feel anything. And how there was just this emptiness there instead of it. To me, it's almost like he's overcome that.
Yeah.
Even without the feeling, to be able to act with empathy, to be able to look at our Kaya through Dark Kaya's eyes and see how desperate her situation is and have that make the decision for him about what he was going to do. I mean, even if he's not having the emotions, he's having those appropriate reactions to what's going on around him and the plight of people around him. When Jack is like,
I'm the only one who can do this.
Well, try, and I'll tell Death.
Okay.
And then he turns around. And the fact that they had him physically look at Sam and Dean for a second, who are both kind of like, what do we do? Kind of like...
Which is amazing in and of itself.
I know. Then he says,
go. In the meantime, I'll open a rift to the bad place. I'm sure Billy will appreciate he heard about it after the fact when it's already too late.
Okay. And how about I just stop you right now?
You can try.
But it's just like he takes that beat and it's a beat of looking at the Winchesters and then that decision is firmly made.
It was just, I am a Winchester. And it was, you know, him looking at his dad's, and being like, okay, I know what to do. It gave me a lot of feelings.
Yep, same.
Baby Nougat's all growing up.
Yes, he is. And then he sounds like Cass.
Mm-hmm.
When Cass was having the showdown with Sergei and was like, boom, 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 here's everything laid out for you so that you know exactly what has to happen and I'm in charge here and you're not.
You will find it and give it to me. And
no.
Castiel, please. You can't win this.
Yes, I can.
Then
a friend, Bobby, he's been watching her. One word from me, and well, you know what happens. Fix Sam. Now. Now.
He's like, you could do this. And what do you think will happen then?
Run to Billy. Tell her everything went sideways on your watch and see how she reacts. What she decides to do to you.
And it's like, really? Ooh, okay, Jack.
Yeah.
I was like, look at you go. But also, this is slightly terrifying. And then he goes.
Or help us. Help us find the safest, smartest way to pull this off, and she never has to know.
And then he turns back into our Jack.
Yeah. It was amazing.
His whole affect changes. He's like, yeah, you could help us, and here would be all of the great reasons why helping us would be a good idea. So it was a really cool moment, because I feel like even though Cass wasn't physically present in that moment, we got to see the importance of all three of them, Dean and Sam and Cass, as dads in that one moment.
It was lovely seeing Jack sort of come back into being himself. in this episode to sort of find himself again and to find his place again, and to have Sam and Dean, I think, starting to find their footing with Jack again, too. I think Dean has a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess when we get into then Sam and Dean's growth through the episode, for Dean, his was kind of understated almost.
Mm.
He was super chill in this episode.
No, he like, was. But that's like, kind of huge.
And I was just like, he just keeps saying, I don't know, I'm going to trust the process. And I'm like, Dean Winchester does not trust the process. Like, what?
So what's next? We're just supposed to trust her?
Well, apparently Billy's got Jack on a need to know, which, not a shock. We've made deals with cosmic players before. Cards up ain't their style.
I don't know if he used those words, but he's just like, you know, I don't know. Billy does things a certain way, so sure. Celestial beings never tell us anything. It's fine. You know, we're just going to see where it goes. And I'm like, holy crap.
Who is this?
Wow, he's not losing his
cool
bleep. Sure. He's taken this to some next level places. We're talking about death and his son, and he's just like, I don't know, we'll see. And I'm like, damn, all right. Eating a sandwich, even, just like, no.
Was he eating a sandwich or drinking a beer at that stage?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, they might have been. I don't know.
He was just drinking a beer.
Super chill. And I was like, okay. And so then the part with Cass where he's just like, yep, you were right. You did the thing and you were right. And we're going to get some revenge. I think the only time, the literal only time in this episode that he was not just super chill is when Billy was in the room and he was scared, which I guess was, we don't often see Dean scared.
No.
And so that's always significant. But then to have it contrasted where the rest of the episode, he was so just like, yeah, whatever, man, was made it that much more powerful, I think.
It was. And the only time that we did see it other than that, we saw the protective streak with Jack. That was satisfying for me to see again. Like,
you promised. You said the boy could get me home.
Oh, the boy's off limits.
And the protectiveness when it came to Jody.
You promised you'd get me back to my world.
Well, the way I see it, that promise expired the minute you hurt our friend.
He was all Banffy, and I was like, hi, Banffy Dean.
It's been many days since I've seen the episode, so yeah, I guess he wasn't super chill throughout the whole thing. He definitely had his moments.
He was not chill in the appropriate times and in the appropriate places. He wasn't just bursting out with rage for no reason.
Yeah, he seemed like he was controlling what he could, where he could.
Yes.
And that is a big deal for him, because that's super healthy, right?
I know.
Like, well, I don't know what death is going to do, and I really can't control that. But what's going on with Dark Kaya? How can I protect Jack? What's happening with Jody? Yeah, he was very appropriate, I feel like, in where he channeled his energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was scared of death. He didn't pop off at the mouth. He had an appropriate amount of fear because, I mean, she's scary. And
that was quite the entrance.
Like, to run your mouth. So,
if I cared for a second about saving that girl, I guess I'd say that was a victory.
So you think the warden worked? Kept us off Chuck's radar?
If it hadn't, we would all be dead. So I'd say, yeah, it worked.
Hello, boys.
My eyes would have been popping out of my head, too.
Yeah.
Just like a little Pikachu.
But then we have that contrasted also with Sam, who in this episode, man, he stepped up.
Mm.
Like, he was questioning everything. He was challenging everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think back to the end of last season when they did put Jack in the Malik box and they did make all those decisions and Sam was so passive.
Yeah.
He had lost that leadership ability.
Oh, that's such a good
and
point.
And so in this episode, he had that moment with Jack, like you said, where he had that realization of, oh, man. Mm. And he just stepped it up. Mm-hmm. He challenged everyone. He stood up to death. He was taking a leadership role, and he was not going to just go with it.
And he was asking really important questions. Like, we touched on it briefly last time, but he was the one that asked about the Malik box and brought that up.
She probably got it all figured out.
Probably. Like she had the Malik box figured out?
Yeah, I don't know.
If Death knows everything, how did she get everything wrong with the Malik box? Why did she think there was only one way out? And that's an important question. A really important question. And I think the answer to that is going to tell us a lot about Death. Because she swore that it was the only possible ending that didn't take out the entire world.
Do you remember visiting my reading room? The shelves and shelves of notebooks describing the ways you might die?
Yeah. Upbeat classics.
Well, it's the funniest thing. But they've all been rewritten. They all end the same way now. With the Archangel Michael escaping your mind and using you as his vessel to burn down this world.
All of them.
All of them. Except one.
But she only gave Dean the one journal to look at. So,
yeah.
And we trusted her at that stage. We really did. I think we all did.
Dean trusted her enough that he was going to throw himself into the ocean for eternity. I mean, that's some serious level trust.
Yeah, exactly. She'd been their adversary when she was a Reaper, but she'd become an ally, it felt like, when she became Death, because she was able to see the bigger picture. But Sam, like I said, Sam kept questioning, and then he's questioning Death herself at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, and what's your end game, Billy? I mean, you lecture us about how important all this is, but we don't even know what you're doing. Jack's gonna kill God, right? Yeah? Great. Okay. How? What's your plan?
Which I loved because he was also terrified. We talked last time about how he leans his whole freaking body away from her, but doesn't really have anywhere to go. But then he's like, okay, so Jack is the only way. What does that mean? What does that look like? When he was challenging her, he really went at her.
He did. And it was impressive, man.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Winchester.
I know. She was like,
when I was a Reaper, I believed in the rules. But then you killed me.
And Cass is just like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Yep.
Then you killed me. What I love about this show is that they don't do that thing that other long-running shows do, where they just assume people come in and out, and so they water it down in the later years. They don't do that, right? They assume that if you are watching season 15, that you know what has been happening for the last 14 years.
Yep.
They do not hand feed it. They do not water it down. They don't dumb it down. They tie it all together, and it's just, oh, it makes my brain so happy, you know, to have those kinds of casual callbacks to something that happened years ago, but that we've always wondered about what that call out would look like. And we finally got it. I don't know. I just love that stuff. Ugh. Ugh, so good.
I mean, that would have been 3 years ago now that he did that, because that was in season 12 that he killed Billy. She'd been waiting to use that line for a while, you could tell.
And all she had to do was look at him, and he was just like, and Dean is just standing there with his mouth open, and meanwhile, Sam and Jack are like... That scene was amazing. I just
it was.
Dean needed to step back. He's the one that's been trying to run everything for so long, and that's been part of the unhealthy piece of the dynamic with him and everyone. That's been such a heavy part of the dysfunction, is that he wants to decide everything. So he stepped back, and Sam and Jack stepped up, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah. I also have to say that I loved that they gave us that little moment that the fandom had picked up on almost immediately at the end of season 14 with the flashback to season 5 and Death saying,
"At the end, I'll reap him too.
God? You'll reap God?"
"Oh, yes."
I love that we got to see that moment, because one of the first things after the end of season 14, one of the first things that I saw somebody throw together was the welcome to the end from Chuck. And then In the end, I'll reap him too. The fact that they gave that to us in the show after.
There it is.
Yeah, I was just like, yes, 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 yes. It was amazing. I think the other thing that I was really proud of Sam for in this episode was that we both were saying, I mean, literally that was the title of our part of The Gamblers where we focused on Sam and Dean. We literally called that podcast "They're Back." And I loved that we saw Sam recognizing that in this episode.
Feels like we're taking a big, probably stupid risk. Feels good. Disobeying cosmic entities, doing the dumb right thing. Feels like we're back.
And he literally says those words.
I feel like there at the end, the message that I really got is just that they all really settled into the idea that they are stronger together as a family. Like the four of them together as a family. As a unit, they bring out the best in each other. Yeah, it was lovely. And it was just so nice to see them all just back together. And I don't think that there won't be more drama to come because, like I said, I think Dean and Jack are still navigating.
Yes.
They have a conversation, I hope, coming.
Yeah.
But just that getting reacclimated to, we are Team Free Will. We are a family. We're going to stand together and we're going to handle things our way. It's nice. It made me excited.
It made me excited too. And I love that what crystallized it for them was another thing that we talked about last time. The question of what do we value, and what they value is the importance of an individual life. That's been what's driven Sam and Dean from the beginning. It's what Cass has come to recognize and acknowledge. At some point, I brought up the fact that when Cass had become human, he gained a whole new perspective on the importance of an individual life and how when he takes the grace out of Sam from Gadriel, he literally says, you know, before I was human, I would have kept going. Because it was the bigger picture that was more important. But now I have a completely different perspective. So Cass has come to that place of understanding as well. And I feel like Jack's moment with Kaya, the fact that he took the time to sit down with her, to listen to what she had to say, to see what she was seeing, and then the responsibility that he took for Kaya being there in the bad place and his role in that. It was all crystallizing the importance of an individual life and the responsibility that people have for each other as humans. And Jack made the human choice. Like I said last time, I think that's going to be what this comes down to. They're really sort of laying the stakes out for us. What is the humane thing to value? What is the right thing to value? Is it the big picture or is it the individual life? And Team Free Will comes down on the side of the individual life. And so I think as a team, they matured together in coming to that group understanding of this is why we are who we are. This is why we do what we do, because an individual life is important. So I'm excited about how they laid stuff out there too.
I know. Shout out to Richard Speight Jr. for that whole scene with the warding.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It let us see all the details of all of the bunker. And I was just like, oh, what a gift. Thank you. Because it just shot all the moldings and all those weird little places that are not usually parts of scenes. And he got them all on film. And I was just like, oh, thanks. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
We got to see the architecture of the bunker. It was beautiful. It was and I hadn't even gorgeous. Thought of it that way. I was just looking at all the shiny things and going, ooh. But yes, he absolutely did that intentionally. And thank you, Richard Speight Jr., for being the director that we adore. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad he's gotten to do... Is he doing 3 episodes this season? Or 2?
Mm-hmm.
He did... It's, no, he has, this was he has his another third. One
coming.
Wait, because he did... No? Yeah? Yes. Wait.
I don't know. I know he has another one coming.
He does.
He did 18. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did 18?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Okay.
The pain.
Is that also a Bobo episode?
I believe that it is.
Okay, shoot. We're all screwed for episode 18, man. So we will wrap it there with the squishy human goodness. I like that,
yeah.
Krisha.
It was just... Yeah, it was squishy and beautiful and human-y.
It was.
Very human-y.
It was. And they got Kaya back. My gosh.
They did. Talk about a win.
Okay, speaking of, how adorable was it, and then we'll actually wrap, that Jack was like...
Told you they'd fit. They do, kind of.
So adorable.
It was so cute. It was so Jack. He was so back at the end of that episode. It was just, oh, it was the sweetest. And also, when she asks about Claire.
Will Claire be there?
I know.
I just, my heart exploded. I just wanted to falsetto because my voice is so tired that it cracked. I don't know if you heard it because you were coughing, but like, that just happened. I sounded like a sweet puberty. They are so cute.
They just, it's their fault.
Oh my gosh.
Neither like, one of us can talk because it's their fault because we squeed too hard.
But it was just so cute, the way that she was just all shy and adorable about it. Mm. And everybody knows. Like, everybody knows. And they're all sort of sitting there in the sidelines going, we can't out loud. We gotta keep it in. We gotta keep it in.
But it's so cute.
It's so cute. Anyway, that showed some real fortitude on Team Free Will's part, that they weren't sitting there going...
That they didn't squeak.
Yeah. Because, frick, that was cute. Yeah. So happy ending for Kaya, which made my heart joyful.
And for Claire.
She
deserved that.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's off screen, we are very happy for Claire as well. Because that's going to be an epic, beautiful love story. Yeah. Okay. So now I think we'll wrap it there for this episode.
Are you sure?
I think so. I think I'm sure now. You can message us and stay up to date with the latest on our Twitter page at TheFangirlBiz. That's B-I-Z or B-I-Z. And our Instagram account is under the same name. We will see you again next week. Until then, carry on, wayward friends. We love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
So I feel like that kind of sealed the deal, you know? Is your cell phone buzzing in the background?
Yeah, it did. It's off. I don't know why it's doing that. But yes, I'm managing it. Glaring at it. I don't know if that... We can call that managing it.